brings things a lot more local here now. And joining me here in the Skyline studio is Brad Cole. Brad is the executive director of the Illinois Municipal League, and that's the Association of Municipalities of Cities and Towns and Villages. And they have their annual convention in town. And welcome to Chicago, as always.
Thank you. Good to be here. It's nice to have our annual conference, our 106th annual conference, representing those 1,298 cities, villages, and towns throughout Illinois.
See, I know you've got that down. It's cut and paste.
That's
time, right.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what an unruly bunch those guys are.
That's right. All those local officials,
exactly.
You know how crazy they get.
Bring them to the big city. Oh, you never know. But I wanted to have Brad on because one of their chief priorities is the issue of pension funding. And, of course, we hear about pension funding all the time as far as the state's pension debt, obviously here in Chicago. Issues of how Mayor Lightfoot's going to have to try to deal with the pension payments that are due. And there has been a push by the Municipal League for some kind of consolidation of some of these pension funds, hoping that as a group, greater rate of return, less expenses. Where does that stand? I know there's a task force that's been formed by the governor.
There is a task force, and you know this issue well because we've talked about it here for a number of years, and I've been working on it for probably a decade. But we have 653 downstate public safety pension funds between police and firefighter funds. Downstate means everything outside of the city of Chicago in this case. And we have been proposing and drafting legislation that would consolidate those for the purpose of eliminating some of that duplicative administrative cost and being able to generate additional investment returns. So larger funds can invest better and create more returns that will then put more money back into those funds to make sure that they're more sustainable. That's the bottom line goal.
And less an impact on property taxes and also being able to allow for using those taxes for other things besides just pouring into pensions.
Right. There's only one person that can pay these bills, and that's the taxpayer. And if they have to pay for other things too, then it takes money away from these pensions. And we see that the pension contributions are increasing exponentially as various deadlines approach. So the governor has named a task force to look at this. I've been a part of that, and we really appreciate the leadership that the governor has taken on this because this is a tough issue. And he has said if it was easy, we would have fixed it a long time ago. But I really want to honestly commend him for making this a critical topic of conversation right now. Where it stands, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done on it, but I think that we can hopefully come to some sort of consensus around some of the solutions, which, if it's left to a mathematic equation, are very simple. Because if you can generate more investment returns and decrease your administrative overhead, it makes pretty good sense that you can keep more money in the funds. So we're trying to get to that point. Hopefully that soon. There are other factors involved with that, because as you deal between labor and management issues, there's always a lot of little things that come up. But that's the downstate funds. By the way, just as an aside, there's also a legislative task force on property tax relief.
I was going to get to that, yes.
And I have been testifying in their subcommittees. They have a half a dozen or so of them.
There's 88 members of this task force. I mean, they're going to propose a camel. You know, this is how the camel got invented.
Yes, by committee. That's
yes.
Exactly right. And hopefully they propose something. You know, we're optimistic that they will. We're supportive of the effort. We've testified in a couple of their committees last week, got a couple more this week. But if you really want true property tax reform, then give the taxpayers pension reform. And that's a message that we've been delivering for a long time. That's a tough topic, too, property taxes, because with all of the unfunded mandates that have been placed on municipalities by the General Assembly, the reductions in the state share of income tax, the local government distributive fund that we've talked about before, these pension costs that are set by the state but paid by the municipalities, all those things that are pushed down really impact property taxes. So that's an aside. We're hopeful that that's going to be successful, and we're participating in it, and we're encouraging their work. But the pensions are really the number one issue for people. It's kind of that silent killer out there financially for municipalities. And it's not just the downstate communities on police and fire. It is the city, and it is the state, as you mentioned. Mayor Lightfoot came to our board of directors meeting on earlier this week, or last week, I guess now. It was Thursday. She's just got elected unanimously to our board of directors yesterday by our membership. And she said this is an issue that is not just a Chicago issue. We have to work together. She pledged to do that. She was very strong in her language that if Chicago doesn't get the reform it needs, that's going to impact downstate. And if downstate doesn't get the reform it needs, it impacts Chicago and the entire state of Illinois. So a terrific message that she delivered. Big issues on both sides, whether you want to look at it from the city's perspective or everybody else's.
Well, when you talk about the downstate consolidation of police and fire, where does Chicago fit into that?
Well, they are entirely separate.
Right.
And Chicago has larger funds, but fewer of them. Downstate has smaller funds, but significantly more of them. And I think that the work that's been done since February of this year, more specifically with regard to the governor's task force, has been focused on those downstate funds.
Right.
And a lot of that had to do with the transition and the election that was happening and the mayor coming in here in Chicago. So kind of waiting for her to get, well, for whomever, and it ended up being Mayor Lightfoot, to get into office and develop their priorities. I think that the city's issues are going to be discussed. They are being discussed. The Illinois Municipal League represents the smallest town in Illinois, which has 11 people, and the largest city in Illinois, which is the city of Chicago. So they're important for us on both sides. And we're working with the mayor's office to make sure that her concerns are either a part of the current discussion with the downstate, or at least running parallel and simultaneous to that, which is basically what's happening.
The issue with consolidation, and always seems to me, the turf war issue.
Yeah.
The quote, local control issue.
Yes, and I am always kind of humored by that when it's brought up to us, because I feel like we invented the idea of local control, but the issue of local control with these pension funds is who makes the duty disability awards and who makes some of the decisions with regard to the allocation of those funds. We believe in local control. We are the local controllers. The mayors and aldermen and women are the ones that we think should be vested with the most authority. However, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about those local decisions about the pension awards.
Right.
We're not talking about changing the benefit structure at all. All we're talking about is, do we need 653 different banks, or should we have one or two banks with 653 accounts in it? And how can we maximize the returns for those, and how can we reduce the overhead? Do you need 653 fund advisors and fund attorneys and all of the different things that go? Do you need 3,000 people being trained on the fiduciary requirements that go along with the pension fund? Or can you do it with maybe 8 or 10, just like the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, which is a statewide fund that has 4,000 accounts in it, one bank with all those accounts?
Well, that's kind of the gold standard, isn't it, for pensions?
Absolutely is. And I think if anyone was asked today to set up a pension fund or a system, no one would set up the system we have currently for these downstate funds. And that's why we're looking at the IMRF model and saying, let's have a statewide fund or two. Let's have a statewide board. Let's have some experts that know how to invest these dollars. Let's maximize those returns so they can go back into the funds to support the pensioners, the people that are wanting the pension payments, and to also support the taxpayers who have to pay the money.
Well, and with pensions, obviously, always touchy subject. But as you say, this is not about reduction benefits of nature. But there's also the concern, too, about rate of return.
Yes.
And, you know, as we've seen this period of low inflation or whatever, already, you know, rate of return expectations have been lowered, which tends to even balloon up the outstanding debt. I mean, are we ever going to really be able to maximize a rate of return like we did in the old days?
Sure. I think the good old days of the strong financial markets, and we've seen a good bull market, but we haven't seen the benefit of that in these funds. I think that's coming back, and I think the short answer is yes, we can put a system in place that will provide for the long-term sustainability of these funds, protect the taxpayers, and give comfort to the promise that was made to these workers and that their pension is going to be there. I do think the answers are available. We've proposed a lot of them, and we're working well with the various labor organizations, and in this case, the governor's administration and others, to come up with solutions that are palatable for everybody.
We're speaking with Brad Cole. He's the executive director of the Illinois Municipal League. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, joined here in the WGN Skyline studio by Brad Cole. He's the executive director of the Illinois Municipal League. They've been having their annual convention here in Chicago. We were talking about pension funding, and maybe this is a way to transition to another issue that municipalities are getting, trying to get their arms around, and that's the issue of legalized recreational cannabis on January 1st. I've noticed that local municipalities can tax at a 3% rate, and I'm seeing that some municipalities are already like pledging to earmark those revenues for pensions.
Yes, and we were involved with many of the discussions in the development of the adult use cannabis legislation. The Illinois Municipal League actually took a neutral position. We felt like it was a decision best left up to each individual community. We tried to get the legislation as good as possible from a municipal interest. The taxing authority, that 3% additional excise tax for municipalities, is helpful. There's going to be a lot of expenses that communities will have to help enforce the law and regulate it in some sense. But communities are saying whatever money comes in, we're going to put it towards pensions. In fact, they're doing that with a lot of different things. If they can have a dedicated revenue source, they're putting it towards the pension costs. The cannabis issue is interesting because...
Well, it's complicated.
It's very complicated. And because we took a neutral position on the development and the enactment of the law, we've provided tons of information to our members. If you go to iml.org/cannabis, you'll find the Public Act, you'll find a frequently asked questions document, 30 pages of questions. You'll find an ordinance to enact the tax, ordinance to modify your zoning, because that's really how municipalities
can
regulate.
And zoning is a key component of this.
That's really the biggest tool that municipalities have. There is a sample ordinance to opt out if communities want to do that. But we're playing this right down the middle and telling communities whatever you think is best for you, then that's what you need to do, and we've provided the tools and resources for them. But there are a lot of questions. We talked about our annual conference here this week down the street, down South Michigan Avenue, and we have a couple thousand people here for that, which is terrific, all getting the necessary training that they need. And when we have two sessions on adult use cannabis with about 800 people attending those sessions, it's obvious that this is on people's minds and they want to know, they need the information. And so we're sharing it with them, but a lot of questions about it. And people are, you know, they want to make a good decision for their community. So we're trying to provide that information to them.
And we should point out there were not free samples given out.
There were no free samples down in the exhibit hall, that's for sure. There were a few booths that had gummy bears, but they weren't those kind.
what is the biggest question among municipal leaders on this?
Well, the biggest, I'd say there are a few that are kind of tied for first place. Okay, what are the dollars that are coming back? And there is the option to tax locally if you have the retail sales there. So if you don't have a dispensary for retail sales, then there is a state shared some revenue that will be distributed per capita. Okay, so if we don't have a dispensary, what are we going to get to help regulate and enforce this? Then there's that's the per capita share that will be distributed. That's restricted, and that will be only available for use for law enforcement or interdiction or education or other things like that. Okay, so people are obviously concerned about the dollars. What can we do ourselves? And if we can't do anything ourselves, what's coming? The next is, how do we regulate this? Can we? And the answer is through zoning. So you can have setbacks and you can say only in these areas or this type of zone. You know, doesn't you can say you don't want it in a residential neighborhood. And what are the setbacks from things like churches or schools or other things? So how do we regulate it, and primarily in the zoning? And the other is, what does opting out mean? If we want to opt out as a community, does that mean that people can still use it? Yes. You're only opting out of allowing the retail sale, the dispensary. And so how are we going to, we being the employers of the police, how are we going to enforce if we go into somebody's home for a domestic abuse call and they have cannabis plants there, marijuana plants? You know, do they, are they licensed to do that? Do they have a medical card? You know, can people smoke on their front porch or in their backyard? What is the definition of a public place for people? And so those are the big issues. How do we enforce it? How do we make sure that people have the legal right that is now afforded by law, but that doesn't cross the line any? And then the, probably the last big one, because municipalities are employers, and we have a lot of people that do great work that are public works. First responders, I always say, are police, fire, and public works. But put somebody on a backhoe that's maybe been under the influence, and that's a problem for municipalities. So the employer-employee side, those are the big issues people are asking about.
A lot of issues still to be work through here as we get to January 1st.
Yes, and we're working with the bill sponsors. We have some things that we'd like to address maybe in some cleanup language with the legislation. But a lot of questions. We're trying to get all the answers out for them.
That's Brad Cole. He's the executive director of the Illinois Municipal League. Brad, as always, good to see you.
Thank you very much.